Today, big news from Scotland. It's long after midnight as Paul Barber stops on the back steps to dig deep for his keys. Briefly, he watches the triangular flashing lights of an airplane headed out across the Pacific under the star-filled April sky, and then goes quietly through the sleeping house to his own room under the eaves. Well, where he meets with a surprise. Father Barber, in rolled pajamas and wool-lined slippers, is sound asleep in the chair beside the fire.
Dad, hey, what are you doing up here?
Oh, Paul, you're home. Good. Your telephone has been ringing all evening, and I finally came up. Nothing but the dial tone. Where did you go?
Denver, been there 2 days. Didn't anybody tell you?
Let me wake up. Oh, a lot has happened here. You want to go right to bed?
No, but excuse me while I put on some slippers.
Hank is due back home from work. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. There was a scuffle at Jack's house earlier this evening. Hank can give us the details.
Scuffle?
Oh, no, not Jack and Betty. No, the boy whom Janie is tutoring. He's behind in 4 subjects because he doesn't know basic English grammar. So Janie is helping to keep him eligible so he can pitch for the team. Does that make sense to you?
It does indeed.
Well, sir, I forget this boy's name, but 3 or 4 young hoodlums waylaid him near the hedge. There was a scuffle on Jack's front lawn. Oh, considerable confusion. And Hank knows the details.
Well.
Hank was on his way to work at the time. Help stop it.
Well, go away a couple of days and the man misses a great deal.
That's the least of it. Wait until you hear about Daniel and Hazel. Daniel is coming home from Europe alone.
Why? Where's Hazel staying?
At Clifford's, apparently, from all we can find out. And Hazel's wireless... Wait. Where did I put it? Here. Listen to this as an example of minimum information. Needed here. All well at moment. Dan arrives alone Monday. We'll explain. Love, Hazel.
Arrives where? Here?
That's what we have to assume. I called Andrew at the university to see if he'd had any news from Scotland that might clear things up. But he said he had heard nothing for 2 weeks. So then I called the airport and found there's a plane.
Hank?
Oh, hi. Glad you're back. Well, Grandfather.
Yeah.
It's 1:30. Aren't you up pretty late?
Yeah, he was sitting here resting his eyes.
Yeah, very amusing. Hank, I tried to tell Paul what happened next door. I can't remember the name of that boy. The student. The one they assaulted.
Kenny Boomster. Oh, brother. Uncle Jack says we live right on the edge of a jungle. This kid had been studying at Uncle Jack's house. Janie's helping him. Well, he went out to get in his car, and 4 young hoodlums came boiling out from behind the hedge and swarmed over him. Not a word, just a methodical, savage beating.
Why?
Oh, jealousy, maybe. Something about a girl from some other school. You can't find out much. They all protect each other.
Was the boy badly hurt?
Bruises. Good, rough, tough kid. He seemed to shrug it off.
Yeah, police are too lenient. That's the trouble.
No, Dad. The problem's too big, and the police are understaffed.
I don't know what's going wrong with this society, but I think we'd soon better get to the bottom of the trouble. We visited the aquarium the other day. Do you realize that the officials had to remove the open-air tank of seals because the public so abused the animals? Human beings cannot be brought through grade school without discipline. Or you get a society which can neither behave itself nor defend itself.
Henry.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, Grandmother. Come on in.
My goodness, a lecture at this hour. Good to have you home, Paul. Come on, Henry. Paul looks tired, too.
Let's start bright and early in the morning, Dad. We'll try to solve some of these problems.
Now, come on to bed. Oh, this is the way he talks when he gets too tired.
Will you be here at noon, Paul?
I expect to be, Dad.
According to the best information we can get, Daniel's plane will be in at noon.
I'll meet him.
Yes. Good night.
Good night, boy.
Good night, Mom.
Night, Grandmother. Well, Uncle Paul, glad you're back.
Yeah, thanks, son. Good to be here.
Place seems pretty empty sometimes. Kind of funny, Dan coming home alone. Mom was ill in Switzerland. Did you hear about that?
That was the shock of Pinky's marriage. If she were really ill, I doubt very much if Dan would leave her under any circumstances. Excuse me. Dad told me it's been ringing on and off all evening. Paul Barber speaking. Hello there. No, quite all right. We keep strange hours over here. No, Dan doesn't get in till noon. That's right. You're welcome. Good night. Mrs. Queenie Swan heard Dan was coming home. Wondered if he was here yet.
The willowy widow, eh? Does she know Mom isn't with him?
Didn't say.
Uh-huh. Shall we turn off the lights, go to bed, and get rested up?
It's breakfast time now. Paul, carrying a second cup of coffee from the breakfast room into the library, finds Father Barber getting ready to leave for work.
Oh, going now, Dad? Here, let me help.
No, I've got to think. I'll walk over to Jack's and drive in town with him. I heard your telephone ring again last night after we left. Who was it?
Oh, a friend of Dan's. Heard he was arriving today.
Henry, Jack's waiting in the car.
Yes, I've got my coat on. Tell Daniel to call me at the factory as soon as he gets here.
All right, Henry. I don't see why you can't stay home.
Because I'm running a business, Sally. Because the responsibility is mine until Daniel takes over again. Coming, Jack. Be right there.
But couldn't you come home at noon?
Coming, Jack. Here I am. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Henry.
So long, Dad.
I'll be so glad to have Daniel back here running his own business.
Have you been down to the factory since Dan and Hazel went away?
Oh, surely several times. Why?
Did Dad take over Dan's office? Was that it?
Well, somebody had to run it, Paul.
Sitting at Dan's desk?
Oh, certainly. What did... Oh, Paul, you think he won't want to give it up?
Pretty heady stuff, Mom. When a silent partner takes to talking, look out.
You have altogether too much imagination. Front door.
I get it.
Surely your father will be glad to come home and go back to work in his garden again.
I hope you're right, madam. Well, Andy.
Hello, Paul.
Andrew, for goodness sake, what a nice surprise.
Come in.
You just missed your grandfather. He's gone to work.
Come on in the library.
How are you, grandmother?
I'm fine. We all are. Though we haven't heard from your parents for 2 or 3 weeks.
I hadn't heard from them either. That is, as I told Grandfather yesterday, not a word for 2 weeks up to yesterday.
But now you've got a letter?
What I wanted to know, I'd like to talk to Uncle Dan and get a first-hand report of things at home in Scotland.
Oh, Dan doesn't get here until noon, Andrew.
Oh, not until noon. I see.
Grandmother, are my shirts back from the laundry?
Oh, Hank, I'm sorry. I left them in the sewing room.
Thank you. I'll find them.
Excuse me. I'd like very much to talk to Hank. Do you mind? Excuse me, please.
Hank? Well, Andy, my lad. Haven't seen you since Christmas. Come on up.
See you later, Grandmother. Uncle Paul.
All right, my dear. Well, that was brief. How do you account for that performance?
I guess there's something on his mind which he thinks a contemporary might understand, but we wouldn't.
Oh. Well, maybe you're right. You know, more and more I sympathize with your father. I've joined him. So far as this generation is concerned, nobody ever tells me anything either. And your father's up on me. I'm not even a very good guesser. Here, hold your cup for coffee, Paul.
In Hank's room off the studio at the top of the house, Hank is saying to his cousin Andrew Barber, formerly of Hoyt, Scotland.
So if you'll excuse me, I'll go in and get dressed. I've got duty at 9.
Surely. I can't stay either. Does the family know why Uncle Dan is coming back alone?
No. Do you?
I got a letter this morning from my dad. He doesn't come right out and say it, but look, you're a doctor. Do you know much about obstetrics?
Obstetrics?
Yeah. Hank, my stepmother is 39 years old. Here, read this. Mary's almost 40. She will be 40 in July, and she's never had a baby. But if that letter says what I think it says, I'm going to have a brother 21 years younger than I am. Brother or sister, but 21 years younger, Hank. And between you and me, I think that's disgusting.
Wait till Grandfather hears about this.
One Man Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 17, Book 134, The Homecoming. Frank Barton speaking.